extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Well, hello everyone, and thank you again for visiting us here at Seventh Wave Network. I'm Randall Libero, and this is Spirit of Film Conversations. Movies are changing the way we think, live, and dream. So each week, we showcase today's independent and visionary filmmakers whose movies evoke what I call the spirit of film, which is a metaphor for the movie's magical power to transform our lives. And this week, we'll be talking about the power of the story through the lens of film. And we have with us today two visionary ladies, Academy Award-winning film editor Gabriella Cristiani and novelist and contemporary shaman Robin Rice. Ladies, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Together, they have launched Red Carpet Storytellers, which you can check out online while you're listening to us today at redcarpetstorytellers.com. And we're going to be talking about storytelling through editing, the Italian cinema, and the new era of visionary entertainment through the Red Carpet Storytellers seminar, which that's pretty much how I'd like to start the show today. So Gabriella and Robin, will you please kind of give us an idea of why you created this seminar and what the purpose of what you'd like to hope to accomplish with it?
Okay, I start?
Yeah, go ahead.
For many years I've been looking for, you know, with someone to share this this dream, to work on stories, to help people to expose their own secret capacity or secret talent in telling the stories. And finally, I found Robin Rice, which I could, you know, we encountered, was an incredible encounter, and we started to plan how we can make this happen, and finally, this is happening. Robin?
Yes, absolutely. I saw Gabriella had a vision for a different kind of story than what was currently coming out of Hollywood, and that interested me because I'm interested in different kinds of stories coming out of the publishing industry as well. So we came together and created this seminar to bring both storytelling to both film and the world at large.
And the beautiful thing will be that Robin, from her talent and of her storyteller, because she wrote these two books, Venus for a Day and 100 Days to Sunday, which is, they're absolutely visionary, and that's what I liked about her. And so I could see how we combined perfectly between the two of us. She's capable to convey that vision, how to see through the words, and so she can possibly teach people or help people to expose them their dreams or their, you know, specific talent. So I think she's perfect combination for me, which in my side I tell stories with images. So I will, you know, when the words will be transformed in images, I will help people to use those images to tell the stories that we want to say.
Well, just so everyone knows, Gabriella has worked for over 20 years in motion pictures, and she's worked with many world-renowned European and American directors and on an impressive array of feature films, including Bernardo Bertolucci's internationally acclaimed The Sheltering Sky and The Last Emperor and Mike Biggis's Mr. Jones. And so, Gabriella, I just want to kind of talk with you for just a bit, because one of the essential elements that you really bring to a film is really telling the story through editing. And mm-hmm. And besides writers, editors are often the most underappreciated artists on a film. So I would kind of like to have you give our audiences a very real and very true understanding of how, when you approach a story and a film, when you're sitting in the editing room and you're kind of looking at, okay, here's where I'm going to get started, what is the thought process that you go to, and how do you honor the story that's in the screenplay when you start to edit a movie?
Well, it's not really that we are underappreciated. It's just that we like to be ghosts. And we like to really, as a ghost, we go to the essence of the story, of the images. You see, when you see the dailies, when you see the shots that the director and all the rest of the crew created, you know, on film or on a video, doesn't matter anymore. What is the tool is not the important. So it can be the camera of film, can be camera of digital, can be anything, painting. Image is image. It doesn't matter where it's coming from. So, which tool are you using? I want to be clear on that, because nowadays everybody thinks that because the Avid or this or that and this super cut, and the editing is made. No, the editing remains the person who can read the soul of the images. And when I say the soul of the images is mysterious, it's a very pretty magic. You see the dailies and you know the story because you read the script, you spoke to the director, you spoke to the writer, and they told you the story, their story. But then you go to see the dailies and another story comes through, which is magic, and you don't know who wrote that, but you have to consider. So reading the images, you start to build a different layers of the story, and you start to do a parallels, which you can be 2, 5, 7, God knows how many are there, and slowly you bring all of them together in a fusion. So when you have that, then you have this magic of perfect story and perfect film. I don't know if I'm being clear about it, but it's mysterious. It's very difficult to explain.
Yeah, it is kind of a mysterious process.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, still today, after 70 movies that I made, I'm still, you know, amazed what comes through and how everything happens. So.
So when you start to kind of get that sense, or the magic of the movie starts mm-hmm. to happen. Just like when audiences watch a film, when they feel that magic, and mm-hmm. some of the best editors like yourself today, they can understand when they put a scene together kind of where they can read the magic in it. Like mm-hmm. you said, you're reading the images.
Mm-hmm.
So film, through the cinematic language, actually has, as you say, there is a soul to the images.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that is truly the art of editing, to find that soul?
Yeah. It's the art of editing, and also is the duty of the editor, because if you don't know how to do that, you really don't make good service to the movie. You know, it's just what you need absolutely to do. You need to know how to read that, and if you get stuck on that, it's really not good service. Meaning, if you get stuck on the script, for example, you have a script and you follow literally what is written there, and you don't read what is it images, it's going to be not that good. I mean, it's not evolving in any way. So you really, to be a good editor and to do a good service to the film, you need to know that and respect that and acknowledge that. Because otherwise the movie turns against you. You can cut and recut and recut. It will never work, because there is a soul in there, definitely.
Well, you've also directed your own first feature film, Ladies' Room.
Mm-hmm.
And so how, as a director, do you feel that you start to shoot, also being an editor, how you kind of prepare your film and shoot for the editing process, as now you can look at it from the other side? So you know, for most directors, they shoot and they kind of had the film constructed in their head.
Mm-hmm.
Is that sort of the process that you work through, where you understand the story, you understand the images, you understand the storyline, and you just kind of make sure that you have enough coverage so when you're sitting in the editing room that you have everything you need?
Well, funny enough, because I'm coming from the lineage of the Italian Renaissance in making movies. I'm coming from that school of Fellini or Rossellini, which they were free spirits. So they knew the story they were going to shoot, and usually they were shooting with 3 pages written, and no, nothing else. There was no screenplay, no. So that is my lineage. So what happened was my experience. I did have the script, of course, but we changed along the way. We were 9 women in this movie. So the actors would say, oh, I don't like to say that way. What can I do? I said, well, just say it the way you want it, as long as you keep the, you know, the point. And so we rewrote. And being an editor, as you said, I had a complete freedom, meaning that I knew that I have to shoot what was important in that very moment, what the actor would suggest me, what the situation would suggest me. So I would cover all that was magic in that very moment. And then I knew how to put together. So that helped me a lot and gave me a lot of freedom, which usually the directors doesn't have it because they're afraid, because there's the script girl who says, oh no, you can't do that because then it will not go together. In fact, my script girl tried. She said, oh, Gabriella, do you know what you're doing? Because that doesn't go together. I said, don't worry. I won an Oscar for that. That, you know, The Last Emperor, which was shot perfectly, I edit in a way that doesn't match anything. If you go piece by piece, nothing matches, so you don't have to be afraid of keep the freedom that the situation suggests you as a, you know, director. You can't be stuck. Oh, I can't do that because it doesn't match. What doesn't match? You're still in the same situation. You're still in the same environment. You're still, you know, with the same people. It will match, you know. So my experience was total freedom. This doesn't mean that they made a great movie. I don't know, because, you know, I like it. I knew how to, I mean, I felt totally free to do whatever I wanted, and it's been a great experience.
Well, thank you for that. I'm sure that that will enlighten our listeners to exactly what's going through an editor's head.
I don't know.
Working on a film. Yeah, it's quite an amazing process to sit down. I mean, I've edited some of my own productions myself, and I know when you sit down and you have everything, it's mm-hmm. it's like almost as if you're starting from square one, and here is these images in front of you, and now you have to make something of it, and the screenplay is a template, but when you really sit down and start to put it together, like you say, there's something else that comes out of it. There's like this energy of the actual film itself. It has its own.
Yeah.
It's and ultimately it takes on its own life.
Right.
Right.
And if you're going against it, it doesn't work.
It's not working,
and nobody's going to like it.
Right. So with that understanding, that films, as I say, talking about films in this new era of vision, what I call visionary entertainment, films actually have a life, and when we watch them, we have an experience that is an inner experience, and films tell us stories, and they communicate to us through stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, Robin, I'd like to talk with you a little bit about from that magical process of mythological storytelling. When you've got a number of books that are actually online. You've published your first novel, 100 Ways to Sunday, which is now in 3 languages and it's distributed in 9 countries. And Robin, if you could just kind of give us an idea of what, from your perspective, of things that are happening in films today and how stories have changed over the last few decades. What's your sort of take on where the storytelling in films how are films changing today in the way that they were in the past, or are they?
Well, everything's changing, so it's a very big topic. But absolutely, I think we all know that the movie making experience, the movie watching experience, everything seems to be changing. Seems like almost on a daily basis. The part that could stay the same, or the part that we really want to get back to, is the story. Because ultimately, if you've got a strong story, all the rest is exciting and falls into place and evolves. But if you lose the story, which is what has happened, I think, in a lot of our contemporary films, if you lose the story, you lose everything. I mean, it's still interesting, and it's flashy, and it's wonderful to watch technologically, but, you know, stories tell us who we are. They tell us where we're going. They help us not feel so alone. I think that's actually three things from a quote I read once from a filmmaker a long time ago, and I'm not sure who it was. But that's what a story can do. And a film that is crafted in such a way that it offers something more than just that moment's experience, that you bring something away from it, that you're given pause to your own life, to how you interact with the world. That is the powerful element of a story. And bringing that into film, we're seeing, at least in my opinion, less and less of that all the time.
Yeah, I'm noticing that actually more so in the films coming out this year that have been popular in theaters, there's, even to the visual narrative, there seems to be a lot of a flash, a lot of effects. And really what the audience comes back for is the characters. They really come back to find out what's going to be happening with the characters, especially in films which, you know, go on and they have sequels and trilogies and so forth. That's what really draws back audiences. So, you know, my understanding of talking with both of you today is that you want to get people to kind of re-examine the importance of the story and the characters and the narrative and how that touches us. So tell me a little bit about your motivation of coming together and creating this Red Carpet Storyteller seminar. What do you really want to help people understand through your seminar?
Well, it really is it's a storytelling seminar. Storytelling, the power of storytelling through the lens of film. So it's not technologically based. You won't learn the latest new camera tricks. Although certainly the camera is a huge piece of the storytelling. You know, how you frame a shot, how you look at it, obviously. And that's where, you know, Gabriella's expertise comes in as far as, you know, what is she looking for when she gets the actual footage in order to begin that editing process. But the story itself is where it all begins. And so we're taking all of the stages of the actual filmmaking process, making a very short segment in 5 days, and looking at each one intently through the eyes of the storytelling process. How does the story emerge or not emerge based on what choices you're making from the very beginning of pitching a script to that final last cut?
Well, I noticed that that Robin, you've had some experience in our previous conversation on the phone, you mentioned that you look at yourself as a contemporary shaman. So from that perspective, what do you feel in looking at the way that people see films today and how they're using movies in their lives? Do you really feel that the story as an essential element of film is really what people go to kind of access when they go to a movie? Are they reaching out, or is it something from the inner perspective that why films are now even more popular than they've ever been? Is it do you feel that in the changes that are going on today that people are reaching out even more to media and movies and television? They're looking for some sort of a connective thread?
I certainly think that's possible. I don't know that that's conscious. I don't know that they're intending to do that more and more. I think a lot of people aren't going to the movies in the standard way because it's not serving that purpose as much as it did anymore. But ultimately, I think the possibility of finding soul in those images, in the entire piece put together, is a great possibility for our world. I think the world at large right now is looking for meaning. We're looking for, you know, who are we, where are we going? I mean, it's the same thing we've always done is, you know, who are we, where are we going, what are we here for, where do I find meaning? And story through film has the opportunity to create possibilities for that, which you can try on. You can look at one film and say, yeah, that meaning makes sense to me. And you might have, you know, another film where you say, well, that meaning doesn't make sense to me at all. But it gives you the opportunity to find out who you are as you watch and to discover that, if there's a story to follow.
If I can add something.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
I believe that the film industry, in the last 10 to 15 years, maybe 20, has forgotten about a spectrum of people, like that are not teenagers, and they are the one who finally, after they've done all they've done in their life, they tried everything, they understood that they came to a place where they want to know the meaning of life, and they want to know what to do with their life after all what they tried and didn't work or work or whatever. So what is missing in this production is that part of, you know, which I call the middle age. I know that this sounds terrible, but, you know, the people who doesn't go to movies because all the movies are made for teenagers. How many teenagers are in this world? Not that much compared to old age people or middle age people. And I don't know why is this happening, that, you know, they keep producing teenagers movie, and we all, the ones that are not teenage, we all watch old movies because there where we find inspiration or answers if we're looking for answer or whatever. This is what is missing in the film industry. I repeat this again and again, every meeting I have, every time I have a chance to talk about it. We've forgotten that the stories are meaningful for people, other people, not teenage, and even teenagers. I mean, in a teenage time is the time when it's so lost, you're so afraid of the future because they tell you about the future and it's like a monster that's waiting around the corner. And why not to inspire these young people with stories that can be comfortable, can be, you know, reassuring, you know, that life is beautiful to live, and life it's what it is, but, you know, playful also. This is what is missing, I believe, in the film industry right now, and that was the absence, totally absence of stories told from the spirit instead of from the mind. Now the stories that we see, they're all from the mind. They all work because they make sense, and because they make money, and because they are flashy, because they are this. Look at there's a movie now. They're all the big stars. They're all in one movie. That's unbelievable. Means that they have no stories to do. They don't want to be in any other place, so they want to be all in the same movie just to feel, you know, not to feel alone. Because when they do a stories or a movie where they are the only main character or lead character, they feel so empty because they have no story to support their acting. So this is really what I feel that is missing and what is necessary. That's why we point the storyteller. Tell your story. Do you have a story? Of course you do.
Yes, everyone has a story in them. Sometimes it's their own life story, and sometimes it's a story that has inspired them, and
right,
they want to tell that story.
Right.
Very much so. Yeah. Well, I've interviewed a lot of producers and directors and screenwriters on this program over the past several months, and there does seem to be a change of consciousness, a change of mind that's beginning to happen in the film industry, and that's why I call, you know, this new era of visionary entertainment, that something is happening. I mean, we're still seeing films which are, you know, which I call sequelitis.
Yeah.
You know, a film which is, they made enough money where they feel, okay, well, we're justifying in making a sequel so we can make more money out of it. But there's a lot of films that come out that surprise people. I mean, I was very surprised to see a film like The Last Mimsy coming out of New Line Cinema, which is one of the most successful studios in Hollywood, and it was actually directed by Bob Shea, who's the head of New Line, and it was a wonderful film. It spoke to our humanity. And so, you know, there are people, I think most people in Hollywood and in the independent film circuit, want to make films that are of substance and meaning. But what we see and what we hear in the media and the news and what's reported all the time are the films which are like, you know, Spider-Man and Pirates of the Caribbean and the films which grab media attention. But there are all these other wonderful films that are out there, and that is the beauty of the Internet, because with the Internet and streaming video and sites that have streaming video, people are finding these films. And that's why a film like The Secret, it took off initially on the Internet before it even became a success and so forth. So I completely agree with you in that regard. I think we are, if people are given a chance and if they're allowed to tell their stories, then, you know, we'll see more of these movies. And with your Red Carpet Storyteller seminars, if anyone's interested in you know, getting a beginning, you know, a first step into really understanding the motion picture business, it's a wonderful event. So tell everyone, before we go to break here, a little bit more about where your event is and where they can sign up for it and so forth.
Sure. Our next event is June 9th to 13th. It's in the Annapolis, Maryland area, which is just outside of Baltimore and Washington, D.C. And it's a five-day program. We do still have some spaces available. And we'd love to have people come, and they can find out more at redcarpetstorytellers.com.
And if they are coming through the this program, we give them how much percent the discount?
Oh, you're always giving something away, Gabriella. I believe we agreed to give them the early bird discount.
I'm sure you can find out more about it on the website, redcarpetstorytellers.com.
But do make sure you mention that they found us on this show to get the discount now.
Right. And just mention Spirit of Film Conversations and when you sign up. And it's well worth it. There's a lot of interest in motion pictures more on the East Coast now that I've been there recently, and I'm seeing there's more film schools that are popping up, and more colleges are beginning to offer at least media programs that involve video. And, you know, with the advent of digital production today, if someone is really, really creative in the way they understand how to make a film, you can get a camera and an editing system together for, you know, several thousand dollars and make a complete film from start to finish fairly inexpensively.
Even less.
But that doesn't mean it'll be a good story.
Right. So that's why
that's
we need
where,
to go to
That's
seminar.
Where the storytelling comes in. What
right,
is storytelling
exactly.
And why does it work? Maybe
right.
We can talk about that when we come back.
Yeah, when we come back from the break. So everyone, stay tuned here. We're going to take about 2 minutes, and we're going to come right back and continue to talk about this wonderful seminar, Red Carpet Storytellers on Spirit of Film Conversations. We'll be right back.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
If you've experienced the power of The Secret and are ready to take it one step further, then it's time to tune into Good Vibes, Bad Vibes, an empowering new show on the 7th Wave Network, live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Good Vibes, Bad Vibes peers into the world of vibrations and reveals just how these energy patterns are manifesting both positive and negative life experiences in our health, finances, environment, and most importantly, our own personal evolution. Join traditional naturopathic practitioners Gay Hilton and George Juhas to unveil the mysteries of instant attractions as well as dislikes. Find out how your energy field can work to manifest success in your finances and retirement. Good Vibes, Bad Vibes will direct your vibrational journey towards mastery of life's greatest mysteries, the quantum world of vibration. Join hosts Dr. Hilton and Juhas and their intoxicating guests every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, right here on the 7th Wave Network. Improve your spiritual well-being and experience a new way of looking at spirituality and wellness. Tune into Spiritual Evolution with spiritual counselor, healer, and animal communicator, Kelly Marie. Each week, Kelly and her guests explore spiritual problem solving and connecting balance between the body and spirit. Spiritual Evolution with Kelly Marie, broadcast every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 7th Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spiritual Evolution, expanding the boundaries and broadening the vision of spirituality through inspiration and education. the last great frontier is the magnificent mystery of the mind. Abundant evidence demonstrates that we have far more talents than we realize, and that our minds are exceptional instruments we can learn to use more fully, just as we'd learn to play a piano or a clarinet. Tune in to the music of your mind, Living the Extraordinary, Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the 7th Wave Network, and learn more about how you can hear the wonderful music of your mind.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Spirit of Film Conversations, and I'm your host, Randall Libero. We're talking today with Academy Award-winning film editor Gabriella Cristiani and author and contemporary shaman Robin Rice, and we're discussing storytelling in motion pictures, and they have a wonderful seminar which you can find out more about at redcarpetstorytellers.com. Gabriella, I've been wanting to talk with you a little bit about what's happening in Italian cinema, because there's so many wonderful and legendary directors that have made films over the last several decades that have come out of Italy. And we haven't seen a lot happening over the past 10 or 20 years or so, as there are so many wonderful films happening in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Can you kind of give us an idea of what transformations are going on in the motion picture business in Italy right now?
Well, this is a mystery for me too. So I'm hoping and I'm participating in the Italian film, moment, which is a little bit stuck. I think we are a time of transformation, of new era. There was a gap between, the last generation, which was Bertolucci, Bellocchio, Samperi, and all that people that we call young people or Tornatore, Salvatore, to just mention few. There's that gap between that generation and the new generation. What happened that the new generation didn't have the chance to have mentors, like, be with this directors and have a chance to learn. So they, in a way, made movies that didn't go that well, and so the production went to zero. There's the production that didn't exist anymore, meaning there are no producers, there are no people investing in either time or money in this art, which is we are major. We've been major for years. But I believe there is a wake up again, and I think it will come up as a new way of making movies. That they're waking up, and something is happening. And one of the things I do participate the last 2 years is to recreate these people, recreate the interest of making movies and come in the market again with stories. My point is the stories. I know there are many people in Italy with talent. We have a lineage, natural lineage of artistry. I mean, only live in Italy. The beauty, the architectural beauty, the place where you are is totally inspiration. There was Stendhal saying that, if you only walk through Rome, you become romantic. So every corner can inspire stories and beauty. So what is really happening now is that people are starting to waking up again. And I myself organized a masterclass with all the Italian Oscar winners and plus others, international people. We will do a masterclass of eight, nine weeks in Cinecittà, just to revive this talent, to revive this capacity of making movies the way we were, or in a new way. Doesn't matter, as long we start all over again. And this is what is going to happen in next October, November.
So October, November of this year.
Yes, because there will be Roma Film Festival, which is the new festival, big, huge film festival in Italy. And this will be the second year, and where really all Europe came to, and is starting the new way. Instead of being an Italian cinema, is starting a European combination of French, German, English, Italians. So from this, I think it will come out a European cinema stronger, and Italians, they will, you know, again be in the plot, let's say.
Well, where can people find out more information about this master program for filmmaking?
The master program is actually from Red Carpet. There is a link,
okay.
Also, and Cinema e Psiche, which is with PSI instead of Y, because I didn't want people to think that it's psychical. Right. Psychical.
Well, I noticed if people click on your biographical page on Red Carpet Storytellers, there's actually a link on that page.
Yeah.
So Robin, just look for Gabriella's bio, and there's a link where you can find out more and some information about this master program for filmmaking in Italy.
Yeah.
Definitely something for anyone who's serious about having a career in film. This is an unparalleled opportunity to work with some very seasoned filmmakers, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime education opportunity. So please check it out.
With those ones, it would be one last time, because, you know, we have Vittorio Storaro, which he has three Oscars, you know, Apocalypse Now, Last Emperor, and Red. So it's a rare occasion to get him and be there with people. And we'll be also broadcasted on internet. And then we have Tornatore, you know, which is
Giuseppe Tornatore, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great one. Probably Bernardo Bertolucci, I say probably because he has some little problems to be there at that time, but he will do the best to be at least for 1 or 2 days. And then we have Rambaldi, you know, E.T.'s father,
right,
playing with us. And then, you know, that wonderful production designer, which is Gianni Quaranta, which, you know, he did Room with a View and all Jeffrey Ellis movies. You know, we have wonderful people in that situation that will create on the spot. We will do L'arte, la commedia dell'arte, is called the commedia dell'arte. We call that when you improvise there. But we will start again from the story. How we going to, why to write a story? Why to make a movie? What is your point of making a movie? What do you want to say? What is your interest? What is your communication that you need to give to the world? Make sure that you have something to tell before you make a movie.
A question I've been wanting to ask you, which you probably get asked a lot, being from Italy and being from Europe,
mm-hmm.
What do you feel are the major differences between European cinema and American cinema?
Well, the difference that I always find is that even if they are not good movies, they have some depth. Sometimes too much, too many layers, it's too much in it. And we have so many aspects to tell about stories. And instead of American movie, which I like very much sometimes, is very simple, very direct point, and it goes into the point deeply. In one point only. Italians, they go in too many points together. they're overloaded. And this is, I think, the difference of making the movies. And the American language is to reach everybody. They really like to communicate. There's a huge communication, beautiful communication. Italians are too secretive. They are cryptic, you know. You have to know what they mean. And sometimes this one, I don't think is that mysterious enough or interesting enough to be, you know, so cryptic. And people to guess, or if they don't know about what they are talking, they will be cut out, and this is not communication. So this is what what I want to teach in Italy, to be more communicative, more open, more, you know, generous too, because I found that American cinema has a great generosity, for example.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed that you're integrating into your Red Carpet Storyteller seminar,
mm-hmm.
is the aspect of putting as the participants are in the seminar, they put themselves in it. There's a piece where the inner being, the inner consciousness, the inner creative soul of the person is actually helped to be awakened within the seminar. And you use a development tool called positive inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, Robin, can you talk a little bit about this process of the personal transformational and personal development aspect of the seminar?
Sure. Well, actually, positive inquiry is actually a business technique used in organizational development. And so we won't be using that as much for the filmmaker series. But it's a wonderful program in which you, it's a methodology really, in which you look at what's working and go from there as opposed to looking at what's not working. So certainly within film, you know, we have plenty of movies about what's not working. and those are neat slice of life kinds of things. But both Gabrielle and I have made commitments in our own lives to be about doing things a different way, to do things well and to do things with soul. So from my standpoint, anytime you get into storytelling, anytime you get into what is it you're really trying to say in the world, you're doing your own personal soul work. Even if it's not a, you know, personal development seminar, that automatically happens when you're being authentic to your own voice. And so you watch yourself within the group and you see where you fit in and where the message you want to tell comes out. And we will be leading the participants in the first day through a variety of exercises that help them find the story they most want to tell. And that's really important, to not just tell somebody else's story or a story that you heard, or try to capitalize on the last story that sold. What is your unique story, and where does that come forward? And how do we bring that to life, which is, again, you know, a personal expression.
Well, one of the other aspects in the seminar that people can take advantage of is you really teach them the importance of teamwork in a movie. If anyone's ever been on a film set or seen it, watched behind the scenes on a DVD, they see it takes an enormous amount of personal energy and teamwork and motivation and coordination to make a film, even a film with a modest budget. So can you talk a little bit about how your Red Carpet Storytellers is going to address the issue of team building?
Well, where's the mystery if we talk about it? We can't tell everything we're going to do, because otherwise, the experience has to be on the, you know, on the spot. If we tell, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to, so what? No, mystery. We can't tell.
And in some ways,
it's
just like the film,
party.
We don't know. We don't know who all will be there. We don't know what the mix is. We don't know what the needs that will rise will be. But for sure, there has to be teamwork, or it can't get done. There's too many pieces of the puzzle to put together.
Mm-hmm. And they will be guided to be teamwork.
Yes.
In every way, from the writing to the actual, you know, shooting and editing, will be all teamwork, and that what they're going to discover how to make that work, even if you don't like each other. But this is the point: when you have the same goal, when you have the same interest in making that happen, because you like the story, you overcome any problem. You become one body. You become one with it. Even if you hate that person, you don't like that person, the way he wears, dresses, or the way he talks, you overcome that. I mean, I had experience with directors, which I'm not going to say the name, of course, the names, which, you know, it was very hard to be with them, personality-wise, and other stories. But we had the same goal, reach that point where the movie will be that. And so I and they did too, because I'm not easy person neither. They, you know, accepted all my, you know, rough angles, and they bear that because they knew I was going to do the same things they wanted to do, and I was there for that.
So it's an incredible experience, also a human experience to be in a, and I'm sure we're going to have a story that everybody will love and be and wants to be part of it. That is our goal, that everybody wants to be part of that, or how to make that story come through. And the teamwork will be magic, will be there, happening, unfolding, because we're going to do something magic.
Well, actually, the result of the seminar is that you're going to have a completed film at the end of it through the all the participants.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't know how long, but that will be.
Less than 10 minutes, because that's the new requirement from YouTube.
Yeah. And also, you know, I don't know if it's going to be YouTube or on other place, because, you know, we have other spaces where we are already invited. So that will be, I think the distribution will be maybe last things we have to think. Let's make a great movie, great something, great 5 minutes, 7 minutes, whatever it is. And everybody will come after us to watch it and to, you know, to put online somewhere.
I'm going to shift gears on both of you a little bit at this point, since we've started to talk a little bit about people having access to films through video on the internet. What do you think has happened to the aspect of the story through a lot of people looking at short clips? You just kind of looking at a short film in, you know, a minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes, and filmmakers, you know, and just, you know, someone with a camera looking at getting a point across with a film. Do you think that movies are becoming more and more fragmented today, and they're losing their soul because of, you know, everybody wants something in 5-10 minutes?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this new, the internet is a great, you know, a great chance, because you can make a movies and you don't need the box office, you don't need the distributors to decide, oh no, there's no Brad Pitt, no movie is going to be released, or no movie is going to be made. But this creates a little confusion. It's not only because you have a camera, you place a camera somewhere, you're making a movie. I mean, a shot of somebody sitting somewhere and talking is not a movie. It's in motion, but it's not a movie. A movie is as a dynamic, as a, in images, in environment, in characters, light, production design, that has a many, many aspects to be a movie. Movie, is a complete combination and compilation of elements, that a shot just talking to the camera is not enough. A series of shots talking to the camera or talking to somebody is not a movie. I mean, we have to make this distinction. That's why my decision to teach how to make movies, because I'm tired to be offered movies where there are no movies. It's a special effects, visual effects, and that's all. That's all. So I really need to have someone to understand, okay, how we're going to tell the story. It's like you have to embrace the audience, have the audience have be in another environment, which is your space, which is the movie. It's not enough to have a camera and to know how to lit, which usually is not that great, because, you know, people like Vittorio Storaro or Dante Spinotti or Gordon Willis, you know, we can name thousands of them. They dedicate their life how to make an image beautiful, with the details of shade and light, the source of light, where it's coming from, and why that source of light is important, coming from that place, and give the actor or the whatever is the light that I give him to, why is that important, and what that means. I mean, these people are dedicating their life to light, and you cannot just lit lamp and say, "Ha ha! I made a movie." No, please,
you need to know why you're leading. I mean, you turn on that light and you place in that direction and what you giving light to and why. So this is it's beautiful, it's great, but it's not used properly. And too many pieces of nothing are called movies. We have to be careful on that.
Yeah, there's a lot of different documentaries which are being labeled as films nowadays or a movie,
mm-hmm.
and it's really a documentary. And documentary is sort of the line between feature motion picture storytelling and documentaries is becoming a little blurred, mm-hmm. I think, in the past several years, especially with films that are mostly a compilation of interviews,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and they're not really true storytelling.
Right.
I mean, just look at the differences in films of, you know, 30 and 40 years ago and
mm-hmm.
today. Documentaries were documentaries. They were, you know, about, they were
mm-hmm.
films that were made roughly and you know, that talked about a specific you know, event or topic through a series of, you know, factual images and interviews. But
mm-hmm.
motion pictures are really, as you say, there's a soul and an art and an artistry
mm-hmm.
to the images themselves. And so there's a definite distinction, and I think we're at an era right now where it's all these, there's so much happening in
mm-hmm.
the aspect of motion pictures and photography and digital age, you know, distribution, that that even Hollywood is a little mystified as to where it's all going, and they're not exactly sure what to make of the internet just
mm-hmm.
yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no one is.
No.
I mean, it's not been revealed yet where it's really going to all go, and
right.
it constantly changes. So
mm-hmm.
it's impossible at this moment to look at it and say, well, you know, what's going on? Because everyone is being affected, and business is being affected in a huge way. Even government is being affected, you know. I mean, you've got Hillary asking people for her campaign song votes, you know, and she promises not to sing them. This is a presidential candidate. It's really changing things.
And I can see that you know, the line is becoming blurred between television, the big screen, the internet. I mean, you can have a film that appears in all three places.
Absolutely.
And it appears differently, and people access it differently and consume it differently. So obviously, you know, I think it would behoove filmmakers to really, you know, look at going back to the essence of what exactly is, you know, a motion picture,
right.
what are stories. And I think one of the most helpful ways to do that is to go back to the beginnings of cinema and watch silent movies.
Uh-huh.
So
exactly that.
Yeah, because that is really where you understand the visual language of films, is when you watch silent films, because
mm-hmm.
there's not a lot of sound other than a music track.
Mm-hmm.
And those filmmakers were masters
yeah.
at really, and they basically created the cinema language.
Yeah.
And so, what are some of Gabriella? What are some of your do you have a silent films that are some of your favorites that you've looked at when you started, you know,
yeah.
looking at being an editor?
Yeah, it's called Strike. Yes, I mean, exactly that. For example, when I finish to edit a movie, when, you know, I have to say, okay, I'm done, the producer is waiting there nervously, what I do, I screen the film with no sound to make sure that it's understandable. Because if it's understandable without dialogue, then I achieved. If there's something that is not that clear, I know that I need to make some adjustments, something. And you're right, you know, when they were making silent movies, because they have to have, you know, the audience engaged in what they were watching, they really made the body language important, the light and the angle, the place, you know, they guided the audience through the stories, through the images, to be involved. Otherwise, you know, you fall asleep. It is silent. You fall asleep. So they really had to make something so powerful for people to stay awake and watch, you know. And that is, I mean, there are many that I like to, but the one I really prefer is the Strike. Strike is a, it's a It's a movie where is everything, everything in it.
Isn't it a Russian film?
Yes, Eisenstein.
Sergei Eisenstein.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
yes.
You can look that up. It's actually one of the master filmmakers to study early films.
You know.
Well, we're just about to come to a close here.
Oh, it was great. It was absolutely... I was so worried how I'm going to get to be there for an hour. Fantastic. Thank you, Randall.
Oh, it's a pleasure speaking with both of you wonderful ladies. And again, everyone, you can find out more about the wonderful seminar that they're putting on in just a few weeks in Maryland, redcarpetstorytellers.com. And, of course, you can find out more about Gabriella Cristiani and Robin Rice from that website. They both have... a wonderful wealth of knowledge and wisdom that they can offer anyone in regards to their own film career, personal development, spiritual development, and so forth. So, ladies, Gabriella, Robin, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's a wrap for our show for this week. Join us again next week as we showcase the very best in movie entertainment that inspires us towards positive change and honors the belief that simple choices can change the world. And you can find out more on the internet about Spirit of Film Conversations and the movies we talk about each week by going to my website at spiritoffilm.net. And please tell your friends where to find our program right here on SeventhWaveNetwork.com. And remember, you are the writer, producer, director, and star of your own movie that's called Your Life. So make it a blockbuster, and it'll be a classic. Until next time, I'm Randall Libero for Spirit of Film Conversations. We'll see you next week.